Well, we're ready to close out this series on dividing events rightly. And this may be a brief lesson today, but we'll tell about what we found so far. Starting off with an Israel event, and most of these will be Israel events. The body of Christ having already been caught up by the time of Revelation 20, and by the time of Revelation 1, actually. But here we are in Revelation 20, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. We'll see some things happening here. Resurrected martyr, the saints, Israel's saints, believers that Jesus is the Messiah that is coming to reign on earth, they will be resurrected, the ones that were martyred. And they will reign with Christ 1,000 years on earth. Satan will be bound. So we'll see all that happening. Let's read the scriptures about it. Verse 1 in Revelation 20, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit." Now, I just cannot understand people that say, well, that's not 1,000 years, this just means a long time, it's 300 years, or it's 3,000 years. Or it says 1,000 years. God can say what he means, and he's not going to mislead us. He said 1,000 years. That's like saying the bottomless pit isn't really bottomless, it's just down there pretty far. "Cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the thousand," there it is again, thousand, specific, "that till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." We'll see that in a few minutes. But take note here, there's a single angel can bind up Satan, seal him, and put a seal on him that Satan himself can't break. Here we've got God himself setting his seal himself, his Holy Spirit, on the believers in Paul's gospel, that Christ died for our sins and rose for our justification, that we're saved, we're free, we're forgiven sin, we're free from sin. That's our salvation. And we've got the seal of God himself sealing us, and people say, oh, you can break that seal. Satan himself can't even break an angel's seal, let alone God's seal. And so we can be thankful that the Lord has sealed us as his believers, those of us that have believed that Christ died for our sins, that our sins are all died for. Verse 20. Revelation 20, verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them." And you can read about that in Matthew 25. And Matthew 20, I think it's 25, isn't it? Yeah, 25. "And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus." Those martyred saints. "And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished." So what he's been talking about here, this is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." No power. Now, we don't get mixed up here. This is talking about Israel. This is all about Israel in Revelation. It's Jacob's trouble and the conclusion of it by the Lord when he comes back. But this first resurrection, there is for the Israel's first resurrection. We would have already, before Israel's, you know, before the first letter, first word, first verse of Revelation, we're already caught up to be with the Lord. we're already in our heavenly home. So it's not we're raised again. It's not counting the body of Christ. This is talking about Israel. It's a book of prophecy. It says so in Revelation 1, in verse 3 or 4 up there. And throughout that first chapter, it repeats that it's prophecy and that it has to do with Jesus when he walked the earth and came to Israel as a minister of the circumcision. So this first resurrection is Israel's resurrection. We will have been resurrected before that and be in our home in heaven, our house eternal in the heavens. So blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests. Now, we're never told in the body of Christ that we're going to be priests. That's Israel that was told that in Exodus 19, verse 6. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's that 1,000 years again. Verse 7. So here's another Israel event. Satan is loosed for the final war, and then he's damned. That war is against Israel and the martyred saints that are resurrected, those ones there on earth at that time. Verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. That seal, the angel that put it there, or someone, will break the seal and let him out. He can't get out till then. He can't break that angel's seal. Verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners, the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. And they're mentioned again, so we know at what point Gog and Magog are. They're after that 1,000 years, and they're mentioned again in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So we know when that takes place. To gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Sounds like the description of Israel, but it doesn't say that, so don't know. We don't want to go beyond what is written. Revelation 20, verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. So they were closing in on the saints, on the resurrected, martyred saints. I lost the train here. Let's go back to the beginning in verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed, went around the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. All these centuries and millenniums, God has been patient. And God has been working with his people. And then when Israel fell, he worked with us, those that would believe his gospel, whether we, you know, no matter what nationality. And at this point. And so, finally they're going to get their comeuppance. It's coming in the future. God does have a wrath side. He's not going to be mocked. And the time will come when fire will come down from God out of heaven and devour them. You know, like people thought, well, if he's God, let him come down from the cross. Let fire come down and kill us all then. But they were mocking. It wasn't going to happen then. It wasn't going to happen to Pharaoh. It will happen at this time when it says it will happen. God will have his way in the end. And he says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So, go to verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Not now, when I'm reading it, but by that time in the future that this book is prophesying it, where they are. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, who's tormented? It's these angels that weren't, you know, they don't die. You and I die, but they don't. So they're in this place designed for them, where they'll be tormented day and night. All right, another Israel event. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it. See, this the body of Christ is excluded from this. We're already in heaven. We've already gone through the judgment seat of Christ. Those that have believed the gospel, those that haven't, they fall right into this Israel event. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, for the ones that fled away. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the, you know, people say what they think those are, and everybody's got their opinion. I got mine, but we're talking about what the Bible says, and it doesn't say. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Well, those that are sinless from conception to death, never failing once in their sinlessness, they would be okay if they had life, but they don't even have life yet. You know, we have to be enlivened. So they're stuck. They're in a bad place, and it's called This is the Second Death. So that's the Great White Throne Israel event. Another event. You know who inherits the earth? The meek in Israel. Give us this day our daily... How's that go? Wait, I forget the part. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's Israel's prayer the Lord was giving them. The apostles, anyway. The earth is going to melt. The elements are going to dissolve with heat. Look at 2 Peter 3:8. Hold on just a minute here. Let me go back. No, we're at the right spot. Yeah, okay. 2 Peter 3:8, and we'll read through 13. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now, this is not Paul speaking. This is Peter speaking about Israel, and he was addressing Israel after the time when he had said that this is that tribulation that is occurring here. And it was, until they rejected their Messiah, and that became the acceptable year of the Lord instead of the first year of the tribulation. It had been the tribulation. Had they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, it would have continued to be the first year of the tribulation. And after 3.5 years, things would have gotten mighty bad. And at the end of the seventh year, the Lord Jesus would have returned and whooped them, the surrounders of Israel, those that ganged up on Israel, or will in the future gang up on Israel. In other words, it would have happened right then. We wouldn't still be waiting for that 70th week of Daniel, that seven-year period. But he says, don't be ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years. No, that's not a formula. It's a simile. I think that's what it is. Or metaphor. Which is it, with the as or like in it? It's one of those two. One day with the Lord is as a thousand years. It's not equated to a thousand years. It's a long time, in other words. The Lord can wait. We know that because the next verse we'll get to in a second here. And a thousand years as one day. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. In other words, it's taken a long time for this 70th week to arrive of Daniel's prophecy. The Lord failed somehow here, you know. And Peter is saying, it's coming. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, even though if it seems like 1,000 years has passed, or is going to pass, well, more than 1,000 years did pass after that, because there was this gap that the Lord knew about that he revealed to Paul, and he didn't reveal it to Peter. And Peter's here writing, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, come to the point of changing their mind about going away from God, about disbelieving that Jesus is the Messiah. They needed to repent. They murdered their Messiah, Israel did. 2 Peter 3:10, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So the day of the Lord begins with the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, that week of tribulation, week of years, I should say, of tribulation, 7 years of tribulation. And it goes on through the great and terrible day of the Lord, when the Lord Jesus touches down on earth and takes over for 1,000 years. And it continues through that 1,000 years till the end of the 1,000 years. And that's when this happens, this verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up, the earth, and the works that are therein. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? There's some meaning to the fear of God. Continuing on, Peter talking to Israel again, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So that's what that's when it happens here, right in between Revelation 20:14 and Revelation 20:15. Let's go to 20:14 again. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So we don't want to be part of that. That's those Israelites that aren't in Israel's first resurrection. And as we said, we would have already been caught up. We're in a different category. We're in a different place, in heaven already. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Well, then we've got an event coming up here that is related to the body of Christ as much as to Israel. It's one of those few places in Scripture that you have an event that involves both Israel and the body of Christ. Let's read it. Revelation 21:20, about a new heaven, a new earth, a holy city, the new Jerusalem, the bride, the Lamb's wife, and the tabernacle of God with men. So, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Remember, Jesus told Israel, the disciples, to lay up your treasure in heaven. and gave him that nobleman parable, that a nobleman went to a far country to obtain a kingdom and to return with the treasure. So he, the treasures that Israel was to lay up in heaven, the Lord comes back with. And so John saw this holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Who was that promised to? Not to us. We weren't promised to be God's people and he be our God. That, even though that's true, but that promise in the scriptures was only made to Israel. So this is Israel again that it's talking about. He is our God, those of us that believe in him. And he does redeem us as part of his people, but we're not called his people. In the Bible, when it talks about his people, my people, that's talking about Israel. And you can see that over and over, that it's talking about Israel. In the Old Testament especially, you can see a lot of places that it can't be anything else. It's defined. Revelation 21:9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. So as you know, earlier in Revelation, this is referring to these things that were earlier in Revelation, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. You want to see the bride of Christ? Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And I saw no temple therein. So it has to do with Israel. It has to do with Jerusalem, the holy, the new Jerusalem from God. Those that are believing Israel, not apostate Israel, that is the vast majority. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb, and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And the nations of them that are saved, remember Matthew 25, what is it, from 31 to 40, I think. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. There's the Gentiles worshiping the God of Israel on earth. Okay, not talking about the body of Christ in heaven. Verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. This, remember, this is after the 1,000 years, beginning of the kingdom. This is the ongoing of it after the 1,000 years, into eternity. And they shall bring the honor, the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall be no, now here's an important thing to notice here in verse 27, last verse in chapter 21 of Revelation. And there shall be no, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. You know what God calls abomination? Well, that's off the point. Let's get back to this. Neither whatsoever maketh worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, what does it say happens to those people that are written in the book of life? Let me go back here a minute. It's talking about the new Jerusalem, the Lamb of God, the Bride. The gates of it shall not be shut, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it. Talking about going into the new Jerusalem, being part of it. Anything that defileth, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going to heaven. You're going to the earth, to the Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven to earth. That's not us. Our conversation is in heaven. We have a house eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. We're in the heavens, not in the Lamb's Book of Life on earth. Don't worry about not being in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's for Israel. The Lamb has to do with Israel. So, going on further now, we'll see what does have to do with the body of Christ in this section. Ephesians 1:10. Let's look at that, and it's on the screen there. That in the dispensation, or dispensing, of the fullness, the completeness of times. Now, that's one of the names that God gives these working, the way he works with man. He calls them times, ministrations, administrations, dispensations, ages, world, in the world to come, he says. Not in this world, but or in the world to come. They mean the workings of God, a period of his working in a certain way with mankind. That in the dispensation or dispensing of the fullness of times, when all these things are done, in other words, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Not all things in heaven, not all things in earth. It says both which are in heaven and which are on earth, gather them together in him, even in him, it says. So, in other words, they're not gathered together. Heaven and earth are not gathered together on heaven, on earth, or in heaven, but in Christ. It's a spiritual realm that we don't understand until after the resurrection. But we're told here that he might gather together in one all things in Christ. So let's look in 1 Corinthians 15:24 through 28. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, this kingdom that's on earth, he delivers that up to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And you could see that through those scriptures that we were reading. Especially in Revelation there. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. That's going to be something. The curse will be gone. It'll be better than if Adam had not sinned in the garden. It'll be better than that. Verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when it saith all things are put under him, it's manifest or shown that he is accepted with the exception of Christ. Christ is not under his own feet, in other words, which did put all things under him. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And that's the condition going on into eternity future. So let's read a last section here as we close, verses 1 through 5 in Revelation 22, last chapter of the Bible. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So there will still be nations at that time. Nation, not necessarily huge nations, but a nation coming from the same word as nativity, born of certain groups. Verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb, the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle. Remember those dim candles there in the first three chapters of Revelation, after the body of Christ, the light of the world, has been taken out of the world. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. All right, I'm done for today for this series, and except for answering questions and trying to relate any questions to what the Bible says, or making corrections if the Bible doesn't say it, making corrections in what I said.